Thank you for creating a brand new day. We live in a continuation of your creation. You set a day and night in the beginning. And now we see that even our days. We saw night yesterday. And this morning, the sun is rising again because you said it and you said so. We thank you for being part of your creation and part of your redemption through your Son Jesus and part of your sanctification by the work of the Holy Spirit. We commit our heart to you and let your Holy Spirit hover over us and touch our heart this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the most general human desires is to live life without sickness. Sickness involves abnormal conditions of a human body, soul, and the spirit. For all of us, the wellness of our body and soul and spirit is something that we wish we have today and every day. And some of us may have been suffering from some sort of pains, whether it's a physical pains or sickness, or mental and spiritual issues such as fear or depression or anger or self-pity and other emotional impacts on our heart. I have no doubt in my mind that in most cases, God wants us to be well, because this is what He created. He's a plan for each one of us. But when sin came into this world, that things began to change. We begin to sick, eventually we die. I want all of us to be reminded that God is the healer. God said, "I am the Lord who heals you," Exodus 15. God introduced His name, Jehovah Rapha. Actually, healing is one of God's natures. And I believe God would heal today, just as He did yesterday, and He will continue to heal us tomorrow. You know, one of the reasons God has given many spiritual gifts is to use them properly. And in the matters of healing, there are two spiritual gifts that are related to healing. One is just the gift of healing, and the other is gift of faith in prayer. And some of us, you know, may have some questions like this. What are the gift of healings? And what are the purpose of healing? And how should we pray for healing? And who should pursue for the gift of healings? There are many questions we may have in the subject matter of healings. And today we'll find these answers basically from James and some other Bible references. So if you will, would you please turn your Bible to James chapter 5. We are going to read 13 through 18. James 5, 13 through 18. "If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing praises. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, the earth produced its fruit. So this James text gives us a glimpse of how the New Testament churches practice the gift of healings and the gift of prayer, gift of faith in prayer for the sick. So the text does not answer all the questions we raised early on, but I think we can get some answers from the text from James. So the first question I raised was, what are the gifts of healings? What are the gifts of healings? We have touched this a bit when we talked about the spiritual gift a few weeks ago. When Apostle Paul talks about gift of healing in 1 Corinthians 12:9 and 12:28, the Holy Spirit guided him to write the term the gift of healing. Not the gift of healing, but gift of healing. But actually, if you look at the original Greek manuscript, it should have been rendered as the gifts of healings. Because in 1 Corinthians 12:9 and 28, the Greek word for gift of healing is charismata imaton. Charismata imaton. Charismata is gifts, plural of charismata. And imaton is healings. So the right rendering of English translation should have been the gifts of healings rather than just gift of healing. So what this means? This means that there are different kinds of gifts for different kinds of healings. And those are given to various people according to God's sovereign will. And Holy Spirit is the agent who dispenses these gifts to various people. So this means one person will not be able to have a monopoly on every sort of healing that is necessary. This also suggests that there will be many times when a person with some gifts to heal will not be able to heal. For instance, God gave Apostle Paul the grace to heal the crippled man in Lystra and many people in Ephesus. And Paul also healed demoniac girl in Philippi. And Eutychus from her death. Actually, Apostle Paul, according to Acts 20, he resuscitated the life who was dead into life. But Apostle Paul couldn't heal himself from the thorn of his flesh or from the ailment he had been suffering when he preached in Galatia, according to Galatians 4. Evidently, he could not heal Timothy from his stomach ache, according to 1 Timothy 5, and Epaphroditus from his life-threatening sickness, according to Philippians 2. He couldn't heal it. Sometimes Apostle Paul was given gifts of healings, and sometimes he was not. So nothing is automatic or mechanical. But one thing we know, that he pressed on to pray for the sick. Whether God would heal the sick or not, he pressed on. I experienced a similar thing. As a father of 4 children and a husband of a wife, my wife, there have been cases where, some people in the family got sick. Especially when, my children complain about their stomach ache. I think we had a lot of issues, stomach. They are saying, Father, Dad, my stomach hurts. And then, I just pray over their stomach, laying my hands over their stomach and pray, God, please heal. And many times, not always, God healed their stomach ache. And likewise, fever. We had many fever crises. Before we take them the medicine, I prayed many times, and it worked many times, but not always, but more often than not. And there are a couple of cases that severe depressed people in China, when I go to China, were healed through a prayer of healing. So the key idea is that we should seek for the gifts of healings in the pursuit of love and compassion. Healing ministry is nothing other than ministry of love and compassion. You know, it takes a lot of energy and effort. And sometimes you don't even see the fruit because you just pray for people and move on. However, there are people's need and they come. You know, this time I went to China again. I'll give a mission report after service. You are going to hear more details, but I noticed that the people are most responsive when an offer of a prayer for the sick people is given in a meeting. On Sunday, at the end of service, I asked people if they want to be prayed for their sickness. I think, you know, basically, almost everybody wanted to be prayed for because they carry some kind of sickness, whether it's a physical or, you know, spiritual. They have it and they want to be healed. So I realized that healing ministry is very appealing in any society, in any culture. So I think that's one of the reasons that we need to ask for the gift of healings, or you know, gift of faith in prayer. And Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the ways of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You know, gift of healings are not like gift of prophecy or tongues. It actually is one of the humble gifts of God. But once your heart is set to pursue love and compassion for the sick around you, you may want to ask God to give you the gift of healings to minister to them. So let's go back to James' text once more. James 5:13-14. Let's read once more. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So this text alludes that the New Testament churches practiced the prayer of healings when someone was sick. This text gives an impression of those elders of the church who exercised their gift of healing through their prayer. Who are these elders? These elders in this text refer to those who have shepherding heart, willing to go to the sick out of their love and compassion. And Jesus is our great shepherd who is willing to come to us and to fix our trouble and save us from all troubles. Being bondage to sin and being bondage to sickness. He wanted to set us free. And these elders in James are the one who have taken shepherding heart from Jesus. And I think, you know, they are the one who try to take care of the people who are in need, especially in their sickness. And they go about and pray for them. The next question I'd like to raise is, what are the purposes of healings? What are the purposes of healing? The ultimate redemption of body and spirit will take place when God will redeem us in His kingdom. Romans 8:23, let me read it for you. We ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. So our full redemption of our bodies will take place in the kingdom of God. It's not going to be on earth. But what's the point of healing while we are on earth? And I think, you know, the healing from our sickness on earth is a foretaste of what is to come in the kingdom of God. And that's why when Jesus came, he actually heals many people. Whoever comes to him, he spends his time and bringing different ways of healing methods. Sometimes he lay his hands on them, or sometimes he just command. Sometimes he touched them on their body parts. But he was gladly to heal their sickness. Although ultimate redemption will take place in the kingdom of God, and everybody will die on earth because of our sinful nature. When sin came into this world, we would not live long, forever. Nonetheless, I believe the New Testament, the time, the churches practice healing because it is a foretaste of the glory of Jesus Christ that is to come. And people wanted to experience that. In the same way, in our era, I believe the same thing is taking place. You know, we cannot heal just as, permanently or, just what will happen in the full redemption in our body in the kingdom of heaven. And yet, Jesus commands us to pray for the sick and heal the sick. That's why we press on. So God gave the gift of healings and grant us this gift to be a foretaste of the perfect blessings that will be ours when Jesus Christ returns. And healing brings comfort and health to those who are ill, thereby demonstrate God's mercy toward those who are in distress. And healing also equips people for service as physical handicaps to ministry, removed. And healing provides an opportunity for God to be glorified as people see physical evidence of God's goodness, love, and power, and His presence. So that's the purpose of healing. And who should we pray for the sick? And how should we pray for the sick? Let's look at verse 13 once more. Who should pursue for the gift of healing? If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. This could be a physical, mental, or spiritual suffering of any sort. When you are sick, James tells us that you pray for yourself. Before you call to your doctor or have some other people pray for you, before you do that, pray for yourself. That has a lot of power because it's a word of God. Pray for yourself. And lay your hands on your head or heart and pray for your trouble so that your trouble will be removed out of you. We know that many cancer patients, when they pray for themselves, there are a lot of healing take place. And look at verse 14. It says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So you can pray for yourself, but also you can ask other people pray for you. So when you are sick, you can ask the church to pray for you. And here, elders are not necessarily those who are in the office of elders. But again, they are the one who has pastoral gifts. who has compassion and love and praying for the sick. So I think anyone of us can be these elders in James, as long as we are willing to pray for the sick. But also in verse 16, look at verse 16, and confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So I think this one is taking place in the context of meetings, like small group meetings or fellowship meetings. As we pray for each other, we can confess our life, but also we can pray for each other so that we may be healed. So we can pray for each other in a small group or prayer meeting and so on. This is a very powerful thing. So there are a variety of ways we can pray for healing for ourselves and for others in private meetings or corporate meetings or anything. Actually, nothing is precluded here as far as praying for the sick is concerned. And I think the key idea is that we should pursue for the gift of healings. And if not, a gift of faith in prayer. Either one works. You can pray for the sick even if you don't feel you have gift of healings, because gift of faith is another gift is given in the context of healing. Yonggi Cho, he said he didn't feel he has a gift of healing, but God has given him faith, gift of faith, that God's going to do something in a special event to prove that God is real. So he bring his faith and pray for people. And I think, he share his experience in his books. I think God used him in an amazing way for his healing ministry. But he brings his faith in God, and God will do something. It's not general faith, it's a special faith that God's going to do something, and then he assured that more often than not, God actually did heal people for his glory. And if you read James 17 to 18 once more, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So here, he prayed for the land, initially for the drought, because God has planned for him so that people will experience famine, so that they would be desperate for God. And Elijah prayed again for the outpouring of rain after 3.5 years of drought. And he fervently prayed that God would heal the land. And God did pour the rain so that the land was healed. But the point here is that Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed fervently in faith that it might not rain for 3.5 years. And it did rain eventually. So if you honestly desire that God do something out of his mercy and grace, God may give you the gift of healing or a gift of the faith in prayer, so that God's glory may be demonstrated out of that ministry. And the next question is, who should pursue for the gift of healing? I think the answer is everyone, right? Everyone should pursue for the gift of healing. And maybe this question let's bang on how should we pray for the sick. There are many ways used in the healing in the New Testament. The most common method for healing for Jesus and his disciples was laying on of hands. Luke 4:40, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. So Jesus himself laid his hand on the sick people. And this is a touch of love. And he even touched the people who have leprosy. He touched gently, and God healed the disease of leprosy. I believe, you know, it was intentional touch because it shows that Jesus is not afraid. Rather, he want to show God's love for those people who are social outcasts. And in Jesus' time, touching those people who have leprosy is actually offense to God, because according to Moses' law, you're not supposed to touch dirty people like that. But Jesus touched because his touch is touch of love. And then Jesus healed those leprosy. And another physical symbol of the Holy Spirit's power coming for healing was anointing with oil. Mark 6:13, Jesus' disciple anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Have you been to the healing, the meetings where some people still bring the oil and then put oil on you? Which is biblical, actually. It's nothing wrong. You know, we think that, oh, what is that? But actually, the basis is in the Bible. I believe there's, certain effect. And don't shut down your heart just because some people are still doing the bringing this oil. Actually, that's more biblical than, any other, the means. So just have open heart and be ministered by them if some people still bring oil. So there are various ways we can pray for the sick. The forms should not get in the way, because this is just a form. It's not source, and it's the means and channels, but eventually it's God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. When you do lay hands, your hands on them, or just pray, or even just word. You don't have to do anything. Just pray in Jesus' name. Or sometimes you bring your own oil and touch that. Either one is fine. Form is not the main thing here. The function and your heart, chasing after the people who are in need, and you lavish your love, your touch of love for them, and God will do his portion. But there are some misunderstandings around healing. I think we need to heal ourselves. Telling people that God always heals if we have enough faith is actually not biblical. Some people say, if you have faith, God will heal you right away. And then if nothing happens, they accuse them, you don't have enough faith. That's actually not the biblical. So we have to be very careful. As I said, God did not heal Apostle Paul's son in the flesh. Although Paul was a man of faith in God, perhaps more than any one of us, God sometimes will not grant healing. Because it's sovereign will. When I went to India in 2012, I think I shared this one with you many times, but let me say once more. On Sunday worship in the church of Samuel Sundar, they brought a lot of Hindi people. Hindi people wouldn't mind going to church because Christianity is one of their gods. they regard. They're not hostile, actually. They are actually coming when they were invited. So there are many Indian people gathered, and the worship was so intense and so, you know, joyful and powerful. And I preached, and many people accepted Jesus. And after that, Samuel Sundar asked me to pray for the sick. And lo and behold, you know, any time you go country like India, virtually everyone is sick. And maybe 80 people, including children, and maybe 40 people lined up. And there's one boy, you know, I heard that he's mute and deaf. And I just laid my hands on his head. Jesus, if you are willing, heal him. And then he fell down, and I kind of ministered to him for a while for God's powerful healing come upon him. But because of other people lined up, you know, he was set aside. And then after I completed all the, you know, praying for the sick, this boy actually God opened his ear, and he was able to speak. Samuel Sundar's mother spoke to him, hallelujah, and he hear, and then he said, hallelujah. So that's an amazing thing, but this is not the end of the story. And it was on Sunday, and next Monday, I was still teaching in the seminary, in Samuel Sundar's seminary, and another boy came with his father. And this boy is also mute and deaf. But he was not there on Sunday, but they probably heard about what happened to another boy, got healed. So in the hope that God may heal him, his father brought him, this boy. And their face was full of despair and hopelessness. So I prayed for him. You know what happened? Nothing happened. God didn't heal him. So I wonder, you know, I wish God healed him, but this boy and his father returned home with this grimace on their face because nothing happened. So God may not heal all the time, but I believe Sunday was special because people gather, and then a lot of Hindi people, and some of them accepted Jesus, but others still not, you know, others still wondering what this Christianity is all about, what is Jesus all about. And by seeing this boy get healed, I believe they might have believed even later something that this Christian God is not something, you know, not like just one of the millions. And I believe that's why God showed his power for the sake of unsaved. But Monday, the case is different. There's no worship, and they are the only family, and somehow God didn't heal. I wish God to heal them, you know, but God didn't, you know, because I kind of attribute it's God's glory. God is compassionate to whom He is compassionate. God is gracious to whom God is gracious. I don't still understand. You know, I wish He would have done something, but that's not, you know, His will at that moment. So, you know, God heals today, and more often than not, actually. We don't try. We don't even try. That's why we don't see many. But, you know, when you try, in the right setting, God heals many people. And another mistake is telling people that God seldom heals today. You know, again, some churches hold this position very strongly. But this is not biblical. Bible never says God doesn't heal today. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, God of Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, is the same God we know. And God continues to heal out of His sovereign will. But I think one last point I'd like to make is this. Healing must always to be to the glory of Jesus Christ. Healing must always to be to the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, why am I saying that? Because Isaiah 53. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and he our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. So this Isaiah text clearly tells us the crucifixion of Jesus was for the redemption for our sin. He paid, but also by his scourging, by his wound, we are healed. And a lot of people actually don't think that this healing is not same level as salvation of our sin, salvation from our sin. But 1 Peter 2:24 also says this: he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And Matthew 8:17, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. More clearly here. So I think Jesus' death on the cross is a complete salvation of our soul, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but will go to heaven. But also, by his wound we are healed. And he took up our infirmities, our weakness, our sickness, and he carried our diseases. And of course, this is the ultimate redemption of our body in the kingdom of God, just like we will be saved from the bondage of sin, but also he will free us from the curse of the sin and the flesh. And nonetheless, I think something that we can take it to our heart and to give Jesus the glory when he heals someone and he heals our wounds and our sickness. We can glorify him, because I think cross meant to be complete, complete salvation of our soul and our spirit and our body. Do you believe that? Amen. So the motivation for healing must always to be honor the name of Jesus Christ. We must be humble, following the example of Apostle Peter, who gave all the glory and honor to the name of Jesus when he healed the sick. One last Bible reference I want us to read is Acts 4:10. Let's go to New Testament, Acts 4:10. Acts 4:10. Let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. And NIV says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. So after Apostle Peter healed the crippled man, he gave all the glory and honor to Jesus' name. By this name, name of Jesus Christ, this man stand healed or healthy. So whenever we see people get healed, the name of Jesus Lord is held in high honor and glory. Christ Jesus is now ascended, being seated with the Father in heaven. And according to Ephesians 1:20-21, he is given the authority above all principalities and powers. So he's given that authority, and he is giving that authority to us when he proclaims in his name. That's the power of bearing the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I cast out the devil out of you, or the sickness leave. You know, we're not talking about, it's not about I, but in the name of Jesus, we cast out. We have this authority over all principalities and powers, because this authority is Jesus' authority, who is seated at the right hand of God in heaven now. By faith, we claim, and by obedient heart, we claim the name of Jesus, so that kingdom of God is demonstrated in saving people and in healing people altogether. And Acts 4:30, let me read it for you. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. This is actually people's prayer on release of John and Peter in Acts 4:30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So Jesus is to be glorified. You know, when we glorify Jesus, anything can happen. Unsaved can be saved, and the sick can be healed, the crippled can walk, and the mute and deaf can hear and speak, the blind can open their eyes. There's nothing is impossible with the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Would you close your eye for the moment? Let's pray together. You know, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to accept Him today. Today may be the time for your salvation. You know, while you are here, it's not by coincidence, but God somehow brought you here to hear the message from the Bible about. It's not about healing, it's about the name of Jesus that heals the sick. And it's the name of Jesus that saves the unsaved. If you are touched by the word of God, you may whisper in your heart and pray with me. Lord, I confess that I am sinner before you. Please forgive my sin. And thank you that you have come to forgive me through your blood. And I commit myself to follow Jesus from this day and on. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. And for those who are sick today and want to be healed, I'd like you to stand up from your seat. Your sickness can be a physical one. Something that you cannot control, high blood pressure, knee issues and stomach aches, or ulcers and intestine issues, or migraine, headaches, and neck and back pain. It can be a physical one, or it can be anything spiritual or psychological, like a fear, depression, and anger, self-pity, or lust, or any other thought. If you feel you have sickness of any sort and you want God to heal you, I want you to stand up from your seat. And one thing that I'm sure is God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. And Jesus took up our infirmities on His body and carried our sins and our diseases. And may God heal you today as you desire His Holy Spirit to come upon you for healing. For those who are still seated, you can stretch your hands for those people who stand. Let's pray for them. Father God, we pray for these six people who are standing from their seat to be healed. We don't know exactly what kind of suffering they may enduring, but we ask your Holy Spirit come upon each one of them today. You know, by the divine touch, direct touch of Jesus Christ from the throne of heaven, let the power come to heal. Heal some people from the cancer. Heal someone from the bone issues and the neck issues and all the muscle issues. Release your freedom upon them. And for them, some, you know, fear of life and fear of man and anxiety and depression. We pray in Jesus' name to be set free from those bondage and any other blood pressure issues and heart issues. God, we ask you to heal by your touch today. And for all of us who are here in this room, Father, whether we know or not, whether we admit or not, we want to be blessed by your presence as well. Bring salvation to those who need to be saved today. And also bring the full healing of our body and soul and spirit by your mercy and compassion, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. That you are the one who asked us to heal the sick, pressing on and going on and demonstrate the kingdom of God with word and power. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise your name. And save those who need to be saved today. Cast out all those blind eyes so that they can see from the face in Jesus Christ. And for those who have been suffering for a long time with all kinds of sickness and infirmities of the body and soul, we declare victory of Jesus Christ for all of us in this room to stand firm and stand healthy and stand well. Because that's the blessing that you promised. We proclaim by faith in your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you dispense gift of healing. And we ask you to dispense your gifts to all of us so that we'll be able to press on to declare the kingdom of God in words and in power. Especially for those who stand up, Father, dispense the gift of healing upon them so that they would be able to heal other sick people in turn for your glory. Father, we thank you for the great things that you will do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Father of glory, we thank you for your being our Father, not just God, unknown God, but the Father of Jesus, who has adopted each one of us into your family so that we can call you Abba Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. May your name be always be honored and glorified. And you have given your Son's name Jesus Christ so that we would glorify him, that you would be glorified from Jesus when he glorified his name. We thank you for your ministry, and we give all the honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.